Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Tuesday night, 7 p.m., we're here and having lots of fun making radio great again. Well, it wouldn't be a day in Washington without some intrigue from within the palace gates. Did you hear this thing about Sessions? So Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, and I have to tell you, first of all, you got to understand, Sessions is not an appointee that came late to the Trump party. Sessions is a guy, you know, he was a senator before he became Attorney General under Trump. And as a longtime senator, I think he was the first, the very first in the Senate who endorsed Trump. And that's because Jeff Sessions is one of the few people, just historically, going back in time, is the guy who has been pushing against illegal immigration. That's always been one of his pet peeves. And as such, he was never part of the good old boys in the Senate. This is all an important setup. I promise you it's important. Because these details are now completely lost on the mainstream media. The drive-bys are just, they are just besides themselves, so happy that there seems to be blood in the water for the Attorney General. Well, you see, ABC News reported that tension with Trump, between Trump and Sessions, has escalated to such a level that the tension led to Jeff Sessions offering to resign. This according to unnamed sources. You know what this was all about? Apparently, at least according to the sources, Trump is seething about March. In March, Jeff Sessions said, hey, I'm going to recuse myself, right? It was the beginnings of the inquiry into the Russia hacking, meddling investigation. The Democrats were banging their pots and pans, insisting that the Justice Department investigate. And then, aha, Sessions as a member, as a close confidant of Trump's, as a key integral member of the transition, met with the Russian ambassador. In any normal world, this would be a total non-story. It's what you do during the transition. I know I've complained about this till my voice has gone out. Every time a president is elected, his people meet with all the world leaders and their representatives, which happens to be ambassadors. Yes. So there was Mr. Sessions, Mr. Kislyak. They're having a meeting. And next thing, the Democrats begin pushing for recusal. We don't have to go too far back in history to remember this whole thing. It was a total BS political move intended to cut Trump off and away from one of his key confidants. See, the resist movement for, you know, there are amateurs on the street level, right? You got the people out there protesting, saying things like resist, and wearing dark clothing and smashing people in the heads with bike locks. But the deep state establishment politicians and their cohorts, their unelected cohorts, they know what they're doing. And by pushing for Sessions to recuse himself, it was a deliberate effort to take, you know, Trump's very new presidency and kick out this really important person that was key to Trump. Because when you come in as president, your closest people, the people that supported you from the very beginning, look, loyalty is a big thing. It's not just loyalty is not new to Donald Trump. Every president relies on a loyal inner circle. Obama had one. Bush had one. And we still talk about some of those names, from Karl Rove to David Axelrod to the dreaded Valerie Jarrett, or Jarrett, depending what side of Chicago you're from. So this is nothing new. And if you were a competent Obama resister, the first thing you would try to do is cut him off from some of his key people. Of course, the Republicans did no such thing. So here it was. And Sessions, in some split moment decision, he without consulting Trump, said, I'm going to recuse myself, and went and made an announcement. And according to sources familiar with the discussions, did so with, we'd be told, Trump, I think, 2 minutes before he made the announcement. And Trump is seething about it. And he's seething about it for two reasons. The first one is obvious. It's a big deal. So you don't, you know, if I'm the boss and somebody is making a decision like that, you might look at it. And if you're CNN, you're looking at it as something that the president, that the person making the recusing himself is a personal decision, something they got to make. But no, you got to clear that with the boss. You do. You got to talk to him about it. Well, that's one obvious thing. But the other, maybe slightly less obvious thing, is that Trump fundamentally understood that the recusal was BS. That it was falling for a trap set by the Democrats, set by the press, set by the resistors. And I told you, I remember in March, I was on air, it had happened, and I told you this was not a good thing. This was a blame-brained idea, and I don't know whose brilliant idea it was, but I didn't think it was a good one. And I don't think it's a good one now. And I believe wholeheartedly, and I understand from my own sources, Trump is seething about it. But I do not, Jeff Sessions may have sat there and said, you know what, if you just continue to berate me, I'm just going to tender my, that's it, I might as well just resign. But he didn't resign. The president didn't ask for his resignation. He's just pissed about it. And the other problem here is the travel ban. And you've heard a lot about that, especially lately, in the context of all this terrorism going on around the world. And Trump is tweeting away about how important it is to get this travel ban in place. And you're also hearing him get aggressive about his Justice Department. Now he means, of course, Jeff Sessions. And this is an entirely different matter. See, the press is conflating these two issues. They're taking what happened with the recusal, which is just a legitimately frustrating thing. Shouldn't have happened, was a stupid move on Sessions' part. Trump sees it as a weak move. He's not happy about it. But when it comes to the travel ban, I think this is a little more nuanced. The best way I can explain it to you, it's the attorney general is one of the attorneys, is basically a super lawyer who represents the administration's agenda. It's a separate position from the solicitor general, but for the most part, when the administration, any administration, comes out with a law, or in this case, let's say an executive order, it is up to the attorney general to defend that, to support it, to find a workable legal framework for that particular bit of law or that particular directive to be operationalized. Now, if you've dealt with attorneys and I am one, so I can tell you this. If you've dealt with lawyers, okay, if you're the practical person, Trump's the practical person. In fact, I'd actually say he's not even just a practical, he's a pirate. So when you've got a pirate who's ready to just tear the whole place apart and do radical things, pirates don't have lawyers typically until they're, you know, in court. But what's the tension there? Lawyers, by definition, by training, and I honestly think many times it's a DNA thing, they're risk adverse. First thing you do in law school is you go to law school and they teach you to look at everything that could possibly go wrong. So lawyers We see problems. And if you're a guy like Trump, you don't want to see problems. You want to see solutions. Trump says, the travel ban is the right thing to do. And I'm with him, by the way. Of course it's the right thing to do. We don't want any more of these people over here than we have from these six countries. Perfectly fine. Close the doors, reevaluate, come up with a new system. It's not about that. It's not about the merits of it. You may disagree with me, but this is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the function of what the relationship, the natural tension that exists between the chief executive and the attorney general, between any principal and his attorney. This is a simple case of Trump being pissed at his lawyer. And by God, I promise you this, there are a lot of regular human beings out there who are pissed at their lawyer. Because the lawyer is oftentimes giving you advice that you don't want to hear. And remember, by definition, again, the principal here is the president, and his world is inherently political. The attorney general's world is legal. And so that's where you're hearing all these people inside the Trump administration who are lawyers. By the way, a lot of times, you know, even non-attorney positions in the White House are staffed by attorneys. I don't know if you know this. You line up any White House. The whole place is crawling with lawyers. Can't get rid of us. We're like cockroaches. So you look at this and they're all thinking like lawyers. Oh, my God, he can't tweet that. Oh, my gosh, you can't say that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And I'm a different kind of a lawyer. I'm the kind of lawyer, well, first of all, I have to tone some of this down, but I was always entrepreneurial first. And when I went to law school, I made a pact with myself. I sat myself down, I looked in the mirror and I said, Sam, don't let law school ruin you. No, I had to do that, honestly, because I know this. I know perfectly normal people. First of all, law school, I always joke, is an a-hole factory. That's a whole separate thing. But it also, people go into law school and they immediately start to do all this, you know, find problems, find issues, and they become so risk adverse that they're scared of their own shadow. This is why most lawyers are absolutely crap business people. Don't ever go into business with your lawyer. I mean, you're going to go nowhere fast. He's just going to tell you everything that's going to go wrong. And so it'll never get off the ground. You get what I'm saying. It's a long story, but I want you to understand what the tension is there. Because for all the lawyers that work at CNN and all the lawyers that work at ABC News and all the lawyers that work at MSNBC, none of these nincompoops can actually articulate this thing that I'm telling you. This is normal tension. You're telling me that, do you remember the tension between, I don't know, Bill Clinton and Janet Reno, right? I mean, that was, it started off great. He appointed her. Everything's kumbaya. You have a political appointment that has its own function. And part of that function, not just the fact that you're a chief law enforcement officer, which requires a degree of separation, independence even, but you also, well, it's a joke, of course, because Holder was, I mean, there never was a more weaponized Department of Justice than under Obama. And if you want a good example of that, look no further than all these unmaskings that were done at the behest of the Justice Department. Deliberately now, I mean, you've seen it, USA Today, everyone's reporting this, right? The widespread abuse of intelligence gathered, the hoovered up documents, hoovered up communications, hoovered up text messages and whatnot, deliberate unmasking of Trump associates during the campaign. Whew. Heavy stuff. And then, oh, like the Black Panthers not prosecuting voter and outright voter intimidation. You remember that? That is the Obama Justice Department. So but there always will be a tension there. And you probably had less of a tension under Obama because Obama himself was a lawyer. Don't forget that. He was a lawyer. So he was one of them. And that's part of what made Obama a really bad president. This is not political here. This is not not evaluating his policies. I'm just telling you that some of Obama's natural hesitance to make decisions, his hand-wringing that would go on for weeks and months, this paralysis that set in, especially in the second term, is the function of the lawyer's brain that endlessly overanalyzes and goes down different rabbit holes. This is what makes Trump good. Make a decision. Go for it. Shoot from the hip. But remember, there are going to be tensions, and it's going to be natural. I'll explain. There's more on this. Be right back after this.
Talk radio. Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live from our Sweet James studios, deep behind the orange curtain. 1-800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. Also, I forgot to give the number and the email, so doing it now. Sam@samnation.com. I am checking my emails throughout the hour here. Well, you know, Spicer was back in the hot seat, so to speak. I thought Sean was on his way out. Spicer is the embattled press poobah of the Trump presidency. And, you know, this exchange here I'm going to play for you almost sounds like he's really had it. I mean, he's just had it. He has absolutely, here's a man who has just had it up to his gills with the crap that the media is throwing at him. And he obviously, now this is all about Sessions here, because they're started, this today started with this drip, drip, drip of information about Sessions that seemed to indicate that there was tension between him and Trump. And I think sometime, maybe about 4 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon, ABC News announced that there had been an offer of resignation from the attorney general himself to Trump, which seemed to have been was at least refused or was not serious. And so during the press briefing, as the earlier leaks are coming out, this reporter is trying to nail down whether or not Trump still has confidence in his attorney general. And here, listen to this exchange.
How would you describe the president's level of confidence in the attorney general, Jeff Sessions?
I have not had a discussion with him about that.
Last time you said that, there was a development.
I'm answering a question, which is I have not had that discussion with him.
So you say he has confidence in his attorney general?
I said I have not had a discussion with him on the question. If I haven't had a discussion with him about a subject, I tend not to speak about it.
I would bring a Nerf gun to this if I were Spicer. You know, just or some kind of a non-lethal weapon. Because I would just want to sit there, you know, at that podium with these jack-you-know-whats and just go, pop, 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 super soaker. Remember those? When I was a kid, yeah, these big, big old thing of water in there, just pump it up and just... Oh, but listen to this. I have not had a discussion with them. This is a Washington non-answer at the end of the day. It's a non-answer. I mean, we could take him at his word and say he really hasn't talked to Trump about it. My take on it is that it's a deliberate non-answer. I think this is, Trump has this way of dealing with people. You know, he did it with Bannon. Kind of rakes them over the hot coals publicly, dangles them out there a little bit. I don't know. This is not my preferred way of dealing with problematic staff and coworkers. You know, this is not a good thing if this is what's going on. But you see what the press is hard out all about figuring this thing out. And they smell a little bit of blood. They've got the Comey testimony coming up. And I'll get more into that tomorrow because it's coming up Thursday. And they are convinced that this is going to be the epic of epics in Washington. And they're trying to gin up as much drama to surround it as possible. Do you think? No. The tweeting thing is very simple. Trump managed to cut through the media, connect with the public, and do it all by himself. Nobody in between it. And so what would be my lawyer advice for Trump with his tweeting? I'm a very bad lawyer. I think I'm a very bad lawyer because I wouldn't tell him to do the safe thing. I would tell him to go with what worked. And I tweeted about this myself because I have everybody texting me. Let's take away his Twitter. Can you tell Trump to stop it? Can you dip? And I'm going, this is what worked for him. Why would you tell the man to stop what worked for him? Unless, of course, you wanted him to fail, right? That's the takeaway there. All right, we got the news up next with John Wolf, and I'll be back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Murjovsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And we are having lots of fun here, as per usual. David Spade. Did you hear that? John Wolf talking about Spade. He got hit. Another one of these L.A. celebrity types burglarized during the day. I have a solution. So it seems to be happening predominantly to celebrities. You know, 40s and 50s, the famous radio comedian, Jack Benny. He kept a crocodile. Well, I don't know if it was real, but can you imagine you break into David Spade's house and there sauntering through the living room is a crocodile? Every once in a while, and I'm saying this because I'm flying to Florida tonight, and every once in a while, this actually happens in Florida where, you know, it's caught on camera or the two burglars go into a house. And in Florida, crocs are everywhere. They get up in the backyards and swimming pools, and they're in the bushes. And this one guy recently was running, they break into the house, the homeowner or the cops, whoever, show up. The guys come running out. They run out into the bushes. Only one of them makes it. True story. I don't know. I'm just a helpful hint here. For whatever it's worth. You know, this issue here with talking about Jeff Sessions and that Trump is mad at him and that there's some sort of tension in the air. And remember what I explained to you about lawyers and how they are very risk adverse and they oftentimes give really safe advice to people who want to do radical things. So if you've got a change agent like Trump, and the change agent says, hey, I want to do, I don't know, I want to take these six or seven predominantly Muslim countries, either, you know, major state sponsors of terror, problematic, lots of bad people coming from there. We want to just put a temporary halt on immigration. The lawyer's going to see all the problems with it. And that's exactly what I heard a lot of today. I heard a lot of lawyers on TV talking about this. Here's a great little clip of what I'm talking about. This is a Stephen Vladek. Now, he's a law professor, which is the worst kind of lawyer there. No, I'm joking. There's a lot of good law professors. Many of them are my friends. But I will tell you, some law professors, they get stuck in the weeds. And here he is on Anderson Cooper on CNN. And talking about the situation that's developing with Sessions. And have a listen to what he says.
Keep in mind, it's been less than 36 hours since President Trump basically threw the entire Justice Department, Jeff Sessions included, under his Twitter bus when he basically said anything that goes wrong with the second iteration of the travel ban, you know, it's all the Justice Department's fault.
So right, he was talking about they did this as if like he was a bystander to it all.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and so Anderson, I think we're quickly reaching a point where it's getting very hard for senior government officials, you know, to want to serve in this administration if the price for doing anything independent, if the price for doing anything even that they're told to do but that gets struck down by the courts is to be called out publicly by the president.
This guy sounds like an insufferable twit. Let me tell you, this is just a client complaining about his lawyer. That's all this is. See how self-important attorneys are? That they can't see it. They're stuck in the detail. I understand this guy's a lib. You know, he's a Trump hater. So he's seeing everything through that prism. But there are additional layers to consider. He's complaining that that Trump drove over Jeff Sessions with his Twitter bus. And that was just Trump going, hey, we should have stuck to the... You told me to water this thing down. I listened to you. I'm your client. I listened to you. I watered the thing down and the court still took a crap on it. And he's probably thinking, look, I shouldn't have bothered. I should have gone in with the original deal the way it was written and just plowed my way to the Supreme Court where I, by the way, I'm convinced this thing's going to be upheld. This is a total politicization of the courts. The court's playing God here and wanting to read into it things that aren't there. But this is absolutely the backstory to all this. All right, Sam Rogowski, we'll be back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here. So another terrible story from an airline. Flight, this time on Delta, and I don't think this time it was Delta's fault, though. Imagine you're seated, ready to go, and the guy next to you has a service animal. Now, these days, a service animal could be anything. I mean, it could be a parrot, it could be a gerbil, it could be a turkey, you know, people are doing that. Even small ponies, miniature ponies, it's a thing. Well, this guy had a support animal dog, so pretty tame thing, except for this dog became agitated and bit the other passenger, the innocent victim, on the face. There's blood everywhere, right? This guy's got serious injuries. And the dog and the dog's owner were both removed from the flight. I assume also the injured passenger. What a mess. Where do you even begin on that? By the way, maybe the airline does have some responsibility. If they knew, for example, that the dog was vicious, had some propensity to take nibbles out of fellow passengers. Well, if something like this happens to you, all right, what do? You got to call a lawyer, and not just any lawyer, the right lawyer. The lawyer that's going to fight for you and take care of your case and make sure you get what you deserve. That guy's sweet, James Bergner. The one and only. Make sure, you know, the dog, by the way. Yeah, this is it. People, dogs in California, you know this? It's automatically the owner's responsible. You don't get a free bite. So make sure you know your rights. You know what you can get. And call Sweet James. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rogowski, back behind the Sam Nation microphone. See, Obama is back in the news. He is warning us, well, he's warning us to not be persuaded to slip into an us versus them world or thought process. Also warning us against xenophobia. So it's a veiled slap at Trump, obviously. He didn't mention Trump by name, but he is talking about the rise of extreme nationalism and xenophobia and the destructive politics of us versus them. Yeah, you know, Obama's the one who got us into this problem to begin with. His desire to make peace with the Middle East at all costs. When I say with the Middle East, to make peace with Iran, for Pete's sakes. The single largest state sponsor of terror. I hear a lot about Saudi Arabia. You want to know who Hamas's paymaster is? It's not Saudi Arabia. Look, Iran is one of the most dangerous countries. What did Obama ever do for them? sent a pile of cash, gave them everything they asked for, made a terrible deal that all but guarantees that they get their hands on a nuclear weapon. None of it being good for us, for our country, for our national interest. And I know, I hear from a lot of you, you ask why. You know, you it's easy to say, well, Obama did X, Y, and Z, but you some of you want to know the why. And I always come back to the same thing. It's very simple. In Obama's world, and by the way, the world of a lot of liberals, they see that they see original sin. You and I, as Americans, we're born guilty because the sins of this country, the things that we did in the past, are so unspeakably horrible. Basically, by an extension of logic, when you have terrorists killing us, we need to think about why those terrorists are doing that. And if we really strip away all the layers, this being, you know, the left-wing logic, if you strip away all the layers, it's really our fault that these terrorists want to kill us. And that we need to do a better job of understanding it. So this original sin permeated every decision that Obama made, on the international stage on our behalf for 8 years. And Trump is just now beginning to undo it. And my God, is it a beautiful thing. I'm loving it. All right, Sam Rogowski, we'll be back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
You know, I have one more, I think, very important point to make on this Sessions issue. You'll recall that professor, that law professor that was on CNN, I played you the clip earlier, was complaining that Trump had driven over Sessions with his Twitter bus. And I told you he was referring to these sort of public gripes, grousing. Trump's public grousing about the watered-down travel ban. Trump, there's another explanation here, too, that's really important. Trump is not, he may not be a professional politician, but he is someone who has an absolutely natural political instinct. So love him or hate him, he is a political animal. He understands how to play the game. Trump is setting up this travel ban as a win-win scenario for himself. You've got to. If you're Trump's a control person, can we accept that as a premise, as a fair premise? So as a control person, you make a decision. Now, when you run the Trump organization, more or less your decision is unchallenged. But now when you run the U.S. organization, all of a sudden you got this pesky thing called the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So your decision gets shut down. And for the first time, you see a lot of the mainstream media talking about this. For the first time, Trump is, somebody said no to him. Whoa. Right. And I listened and I said, yeah, okay, for the first time somebody said no, probably not, but somebody's saying no to him and he doesn't like it, and I don't know if that's necessarily news. But here's the important thing. He understands the politics of it. He understands that you can't lose. You've got to win. So how do you win when the power over this decision is out of your hands? This matters going to the Supreme Court. I happen to think the Supreme Court's gonna approve it. But what if the Supreme Court doesn't? Trump has to create a scenario where that isn't a loss for him. And a lot of this grousing against Sessions is also part and parcel, interspersed in there, has been a lot of commentary about terrorism. And about these bad actors, these guys, these terrorists that we now know have come from, we're talking about the London attack that came from Morocco. Two of them of Moroccan origin. And another one had come by way of Syria. So he's using the situation here to remind everybody, hey, I need a travel ban and we shouldn't have watered it down and we shouldn't have done X, Y, and Z because travel ban gets shut down, let's just say. And then you've got a scenario where he's done, he's groused against everybody. You know, he's basically put himself out there saying, I wanted it to be tough. I didn't want to water it down. I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to protect the American people. The instinct there makes sense. But the media just wants to focus on the palace intrigue. You know, the inter-White House, you know, squabbling. And so as usual, they're going to take it one direction and sort of ignore all the complexity there that I think is legitimate and bears some examining. All right. I am on the road as of an hour from now, headed to Florida. I will bring you the show from there tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Stay tuned and be safe. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Can't stop addicted to the shindig. Chop, chop, it says I'm gonna win big. Choose not to like them. Talk Radio 790. KABC.